Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Finance Committee meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District to order at 2:02 p.m. on June 28th, 2022. I'd like to call a roll call.
I can do it. Do you want to do it?
John Sias?
Here.
David Berry?
Here.
Joseph Olson? Here. I'm going to dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance because of the fact that we don't have a visible flag. But I do want to recognize that. Are there any town hall comments? Okay. The first agenda item is the fund balance policy review.
Excuse me, Mr. Schubert. I would like to make a motion to add the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'd like to bring a motion to add the committee minutes from August 5th, 2021 to the agenda today.
Okay.
For approval.
I'll second that.
All right. Let's have a roll call. Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Olson? Yes. Okay. Change the order of the agenda if no one objects to include the minutes from our August 5th meeting of 2021. I'd like to ask if anybody has any comments or corrections that they feel should be considered.
Mr. Chair, I'll bring a motion to approve the minutes of the August 5th, 2021 meeting for the Bartlett Public Library Finance Committee meeting.
Okay.
I'll second.
Roll call. Berry?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Olson? Yes. Okay. So those minutes will be added to the July board meeting for board approval. Okay, the first item that I want to talk about is the fund balance policy review. I believe that Director Nance provided everyone with a copy of those minutes. I wanted to have this on the agenda because I'm concerned not about the policy per se, but about the way that it may be being interpreted. The policy calls for having a fund balance equivalent to 4 to 12 months of operating cash reserve or cash needs. And yet I constantly am hearing at board meetings the idea that the goal is to reach 12 months. And I am concerned that when we get back our needs assessment, that we've already got identified from the mechanical assessment that was done 2.5 years ago, over $1 million in capital needs over the next 3 to 10 years period, that we may very well have an additional million or more in suggested changes and things that need to be maintained within the building without consideration of any possible additions or modifications to the structure. So I'd like to open it for discussion and see what the committee's feelings are that are. I know that in talking to a number of other libraries, that they think that, you know, it would be ideal to have 12 months, but from a practical standpoint, it just doesn't it makes sense for them in light of all of the capital needs that they need to continue to maintain their buildings and on an organized basis do replacement of equipment before the equipment fails and it has to be done on an emergent basis.
You think there's more money there than is necessary?
I believe that we have funds that currently that are in excess of that. I think that we need to be cognizant of that as we move forward with the idea of addressing the capital needs that we're going to identify in the next 60 days and have an orderly plan. We've been very fortunate in the last two fiscal years that we probably have generated somewhere in excess of $1.4 million in additional available funds because of what happened with the pandemic and the cutback in hours of service and our not having to expend resources for certain things that we might otherwise, as a fully operating facility, have spent money on.
Wherever possible, just briefly, what would you rather do?
I would like to see us set a practical, not a formal policy, because we have a policy. I don't think policy is excessive, but I think the understanding of the policy should take us to looking at 6 months probably being more than an adequate reserve.
Currently, we're at 43%, which puts us roughly under 6 months. So I think that if we finish out this fiscal year and look where we're at, and if everyone's in agreement, we can make a recommendation to the board to do 6 months and then gauge where we're at with the capital needs and decide if we need to put more in there.
Right. I mean, it's my feeling that this is a discussion that should be had by the entire board, and it should be, it could, depending on the circumstances, it could be an annual conversation, depending on, I mean, once we have this 60 days we have, we know what our expenses, projected expenses might be, we can have a more intelligent conversation about what money goes where and what items we should address first. Until we have that information, I really can't make a comment on it, because I have to see the numbers. I have to know exactly what has to be taken into effect, and that's where I feel. I mean, yeah, I'm not against the idea of having a plan, but I want to know what the details of the plan before making a comment on it or really going forward with it. And I think it's a discussion that all the trustees should have. Thank you.
Are you willing to have an open discussion at the board meeting and to vote a half hour's time to a discussion of that nature?
Well, I think a lot of this could be done beforehand. First of all, if all the documentation is provided to the trustees before the meeting, and if you have input as to what, kind of like, there's nothing, we have the Open Meetings Act, but there's nothing stopping you from contacting individual trustees and see what they have, or having, sending something to the director and have the director send out, if you have like a memo and ideas, having the director send that directly out to the thing. And if the trustees are willing to spend a half an hour on it or whatever it should be, it'll be taken at that time. Um, That's my feelings on it. Thank you.
I guess I have concerns when we have a board that won't talk about things, seems to meet behind the scenes one-on-one and reach conclusions. And when there's a major topic being discussed and we don't have disagreement, but people vote present or abstain without ever voicing their positions, that we are losing something. And I was hoping
that's up to the board to decide. Each board is different. Each board has a different feel to it. It might not be what you... I might have... Okay, you might say something I agree with, so why should I take up the board's time to speak 5 minutes in concurrence with it? Or somebody else disagrees with you or with another, and I happen to agree with that other person. Why should I just get up, go to a vote, we vote on it, up or down, and we move forward? That's how I look at it.
So the fact that you abstained from voting on the last budget was because you didn't have any thoughts at all?
I don't recall how I voted on the... I don't recall ever abstaining on a budget.
You voted present, which is not a...
What year was this? This year?
This year.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not, sir. I voted yes for that budget.
No, you didn't.
I did too. You were sitting on the other side of the room. You might not have heard me.
I heard what you said, and we'll go back to the tape.
Yeah, we'll go back to the tape, because I'm going to make a correction, because I voted yes, specifically yes for it. I didn't vote against that budget.
No, you didn't vote on it.
Can we just stick to the topic on the agenda?
This is the ill-spirited way that you present things that turns people off. This feels like an elaborate, I'm going to trap him in something. And it's just boring. Pointless. I think if you would please just say what you think, I don't think this is a bad idea. But you just meander around the point for 15 minutes. Just say it. It's not a bad idea. You might have support. Just get it out there.
Well, so we, as a group, don't have a consensus. And that's fine, but I did want to get out on the table where I think we should be. Not to change the policy, but every time we talk about fund balance, we talk about reaching that year's reserve goal. And
I think we had always talked about 6 to 12 months, and because we had that deficit for such a long time, we were just trying to get as much as we could. What I think would be a good plan, Joe, if you agree with me, at the end of the fiscal year, we'll have our financial reports, we'll know exactly how much we have in there, then I can send that information out to the board, I can send the policy to the board, and I can say that at the finance committee, it was discussed that going and aiming for 6 months would be a realistic, achievable goal in light of the capital needs that are going to be coming up.
Right.
And then we can put it on the agenda for action. Are you good with that?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Any more comments?
I like that. Thank you for phrasing it in a sentence.
All right. Next item is discussion of black box tax levy and percentage.
Can I verify one thing?
Yes.
At the TIF meeting, the TIF is coming to fruition next year, so we have to levy at a much increased rate this year, correct?
Correct.
And then from what I also understand, regardless of if we were to go to like 20%, we still have to do the black border because the CPI is 5%.
Correct.
So I think what the idea is maybe to discuss today, if I'm on the same page as you, is what do we want to set the levy amount at?
Well, I want to get the idea out there as a group that 5% obviously isn't anything that we want to even think about, but that we need to set a number high enough that we don't lose any of those millions of dollars in taxable properties that will have a one-time impact in increasing our taxes.
How do we find out how much money we will get from the TIF? I believe I had reached out to the assessor and they gave me an estimated amount, but is that something you could research?
I think that's something that we can probably find out. I know that on the annual
extension
report that we get from the, at least from DuPage County tax assessor, it shows at the top of that report the amount in TIF district property values.
Yeah, I don't think I have that, but you're correct.
Is it the extension sheet?
Yep. Yeah, the final extension will show a difference to the TIF down at the bottom. It's handwritten.
And both, well, basically most of the TIF properties are in DuPage County.
Correct.
I don't have any idea how we get the Cook County portion, because there is that big McKesson building that was put up during the pandemic. That's, I don't know, 500,000 or more square feet.
Yeah.
That's near the fire station.
For Cook, you can probably typically go to your township assessor. They might have the information for you there. But for DuPage, you'll see what they're saying you should be getting once the TIF expires, and then you can back into what the EAB is, because obviously you just divide it by the rate.
Has any of your other clients talking about this preparing?
Every single one. Yep. Okay. And especially clients that are in like the fire district will also see benefits from the TIF coming off, is going to be doing this the exact same thing.
So they'll probably do it on Blackboard or two.
Well, I think you'll see all local governments that are in tax cap counties be doing
the
Blackboard, because they want to get the 5%. CPI 7, they're going to get capped back. But even at 5, there's always a new growth component, so you want to aim a little bit higher for that. Now, you're in a unique situation where you have the TIF in addition to that, so you're going to aim much higher than even 10, maybe even 15%. To make sure that you're capturing every new dollar that comes out of the tax rolls.
Okay. So James and I can work together on figuring out what that percentage rate would be, and then we can have you discuss it with you, Joe.
Right. I just want us to start thinking about the fact that it's going to be different this year, and I also want to start thinking about the fact that I think that in the past few years, setting the limit at 5%, that we may have missed some increment in terms of property taxes in our district.
I don't think so.
No, you have a rate reduction factor that's on the extension that would tell you. Now, last year you were very close, but it looked like you got 99.4408 was your rate reduction factor. That means you got every dollar that you could. If that's 100 or more, obviously now you've missed a little bit, you've left a little bit on the table, but this is DuPage I'm looking at, and I'm assuming Cook's going to show the same.
Yeah.
But last year you also had good new growth, in addition to a higher CPI. So that's kind of what's always going to be the factors that you're going to want to shoot high to make sure you capture.
And I think that a number of us that have been on that have been here for a long time, this has been on our radar, ever since I got hired by Jay Perkins. Make sure you don't screw up the TIF money. Make sure we're on top of it, I think. We just need to decide on a number, bring it back to you guys, and have you authorize what you want to levy for.
My only other concern is it's a political thing. If everybody's going to be going out saying black border policy, we're going to get a lot. We may have a number of citizens up in arms And if all the districts are more or less on the same page, why they're doing it and the purpose of doing it, it'll help clarify the minds of a lot of the citizens, because they've been going along year after year. All of a sudden, all these black borders come up again. What's going on here? Are these trustees trying to steal our money?
Right, right.
That kind of stuff. And if we can address it proactively, it'll show the citizens that we are thinking about them, and we're thinking about the best interest.
What we could do to counteract that is put a letter from the board president in the newsletter, for the fall newsletter, explaining it. I don't know if that's something you would want to do, but we could ask the board.
Well, I think the newsletter, because it goes into every household in our district, plus some outside, has more value than just listing our programs. It is or could be the most effective communications tool that we have. You know, we have a local paper, but 9 out of 10 people that I talk to never pick up the Examiner, and so I'm not sure that communicates.
Well, we'll have a brand new marketing department, and I have a lot of ideas, so I think that's a good way to start, at least, you know. So I think we're in good shape.
So,
are we getting a lot of questions about that yet? Because proactive is a nice word, sounds nice, but proactively telling people that this thing is coming up can get people who don't understand it to ask dumb questions.
I don't know if that's the solution, but I think, you know, we could talk about it when we get closer to the newsletter deadline.
Yeah. One other thing just to keep in mind is, because you're in Cook County and you've got this unique issue now of delays in tax bills, you're not going to probably see your next tax bill until December. We won't get any money until January. So, and not to mention, on top of that, then they're going to get another bill in March, which will be the 55% of the prior year's tax bill. So you've got that complication, as well as the black border that everybody's going to be doing this year.
Okay.
Just something.
So, would I be correct in assuming that the consensus of our committee is that we are going to have black box? We are going to get Carolyn and James to propose, based on their research of the tax values that will be available for the next calendar tax year, and then they will make a recommendation to the full board, but understanding that it is going to be black box, that there's nothing wrong with black box. It's a way to get those additional funds that for 22 years have been denied to them.
Yeah, no one said anything against that, I don't think.
Yeah.
And we have a few clients that do black box every year.
Yeah.
They just do it as this is the way we've historically done it. We want to put this notice in the paper. They aim very high. Now, sometimes it's just because they don't have a finance person that can dial into exactly what they're going to get. But, you know, so it's not an uncommon practice that you'll see some other places where they always publish and have the hearing for as well as the budget.
So I think we are in agreement that there's no trouble with that.
Okay.
I think we came into this meeting with nobody having trouble with it. I think we continue to have nobody having any trouble with it.
It is what it is. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
All right. The third item that I wanted to have some discussion with is, when we do our tax levy ordinance, I think that one of the things that, in order to properly make available the funds that we will derive from the increase in our tax base, that we should seriously look at is changing the way that we are allocating funds. Right now, we have a building maintenance amount that I think we have to initially do in July. And that's set by statute, and there's nothing that we can do with that. But I think we, as a committee, should consider the fact that, well, that is going to increase by whatever the tax base increases proportionately. But right now, we are taking out of those funds operations costs. We currently take the salaries of our maintenance staff and the utility costs, I believe.
No, utilities are in the general fund.
Okay.
It's equipment and maintenance, contracts, special projects, and I believe landscaping. I can go get the budget. Did you have it?
Yeah, I've got a copy of the budget.
How do you read that?
No, I got to look it up too.
So building operations in our general fund is electric, gas, water, property insurance, building maintenance for just general maintenance, IMEC projects, and then miscellaneous building projects. If you scroll down in our building maintenance fund, we do have the salaries out of there, and we do have maintenance projects, landscaping, and equipment and maintenance.
What I would like to seriously consider, because we're going to have additional funds, that we move back to what I think most organizations charge their operating costs to, and that's the general fund, and maintenance of the plant is salaries as part of that operating cost.
Is there anything prohibiting us from changing that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the only thing you want to remember is what your fund balance is in that building maintenance. You know, right now we were over 100%. So with this year's levy, I think in general you may want to be moving more money into your general fund. Levying maybe a little bit less in building maintenance, and then if you wanted to levy less, then you could move over some of those items, salary related, I would assume.
But that's when we do the budget in a levy. Yep. This year.
Yep, it would be this year, going into this new year.
Is there any reason, though, that those funds can't be utilized for capital needs?
If you're going to utilize them for capital, I think kind of what we were talking about, what I would suggest at least, is to look for that transfer. You had already talked about your fund balance policy. I would look at if you're putting your market, you know, 50%, let's say, and then in the policy, say anything above that, the board has the authorization to move that money or transfer that money into your capital fund.
So we have a special reserve fund that's our capital needs fund.
Yeah.
So
you can move it there.
But we don't need to do that in order to expend those funds for capital needs, correct?
You don't need to do a transfer, no, but you want to make sure you've got adequate funds in the capital fund before you would do a big project.
And basically we're wiping out the big building maintenance fund this year.
Right.
So I don't think we should do anything at this point with that fund until
I think you want to lay out your levy and your budget for next year.
That's what I'm talking about. When we do the levy, which we will be doing in August, and then approving in September.
That's the budget and appropriation, not the levy.
But that becomes the basis for the levy, doesn't it?
They go hand in hand.
Yes.
That will be the basis for next year's taxes that we collect in 23 for the 22 fiscal year.
You'll collect the taxes in, yeah, basically in 23 for the 24 fiscal, yeah.
Well, okay. But I think that the levy, when we put that together, should reflect that change.
Well, I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. We're talking about a year out from now.
No, we're talking August and September of this year.
You're trying to set the budgets for next year. And the
we start the process.
No, we do the ordinance.
Oh, do which okay,
is,
now
which is the basis. And that's what I'm thinking.
You're thinking about at this time changing the way we're doing business. I think again, this is something that should be discussed at the whole board meeting because, I mean, we're a board of seven people.
I understand that.
And it's kind of like, and what is your purpose of doing this? It seems like you bring it up month after month about new libraries, kind of like, do you want Bartlett to build a new library? Is that why you want to move all these funds around?
No.
Okay.
Because, quite frankly, we don't have the support in the community to build it.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you.
But I want to make sure that we best utilize the resources that are available to maintain what we have. That's my goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only concern I would have is if you're maximizing the levy for building maintenance and now you're pulling out expenses, you're going to start to build up fund balance because you're not going to have the same amount of, now you can put other expenditures in the place of those salaries if you want to move those out. But the goal in the terms of building maintenance, I don't think you want to build up an excess fund balance. There's no point to that.
That's the special reserve fund.
Yeah. So it gets back to my question again. Building maintenance can't be used for replacement of capital items?
If you're repairing, building maintenance is typically operational. So you wouldn't be looking for, if you're purchasing something like a big ticket item that's going to have a useful life of over a year, let's say, or more, typically that would be pushed into your capital fund. Now, if you're repairing or you're performing maintenance, on existing buildings, I mean that does fit the definition of building maintenance. So
such as a roof.
Yeah, I mean you could take the roof out of building maintenance. I think you could draw the definition of repairs to an existing structure. Now you would still capitalize that. I mean that still
right.
becomes a fixed asset.
It gets capitalized in the end because
right.
it has a life span of over 3 years.
Correct. But then the question becomes, do you have enough money in your building maintenance fund to
exactly.
afford that project?
Exactly.
And again...
And then the perception to the public.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's more transparency in some of the bigger projects to be kept in the capital fund. It just makes a lot of sense. You put in new asphalt out here, that's kind of a big project. It's nice to see that in the capital fund.
So we didn't have the funds in the capital
fund.
Didn't.
Well, that's where all of this kind of interconnects. Where the direction of the board, if they want to build their capital fund based on the fund balance policy, you cap the general fund at 50%. The excess, we say, we're going to kick over to the special reserve or the capital fund. And there now you've got all your prioritized capital projects to spend that money to. Typically, that works best.
So are you suggesting that we avoid doing capital projects because we don't have a capital fund?
No, I the opposite.
We have a capital fund.
Yeah.
It's a special reserve fund.
I think you start to look to fund your capital fund via transfers coming from the general fund. Like you had said, you're building up adequate fund balances for operations. Now you need to move some of that money over to the capital fund, and that's where I would spend it. So that can be done through the budget process this year.
Typically, after the audit, we make a transfer.
Or you can do an end-of-year transfer.
And
yep.
This year, we would make a more of a transfer because we would have the excess of the 50 50%.
James, what's your experience with governmental agencies as far as capital item acquisitions? Do they budget for them always?
Yes.
Do they?
Typically, you'll have a capital plan, something that'll lay out future purchases. So like you have a strategic plan that'll kind of...
We're doing the capital needs assessment within the next 60 days.
Yep, same idea.
And that's going to give us a cost plan, and then we'll be able to know how much we're going to need each year.
That's where
you're right, starting. Right, but right now we don't have any capital plan for 2022-23 fiscal year. Not board approved.
If we go back to the facility committee, the parking lot was one of the main things that we were going to do and make our way down the list. So if we refer back to that, the next project would be the pinhole leaks and the ComEd efficiency lighting project. So we had put all of those things in order, and that was board approved.
Right, but we never created a capital fund. I mean, we've got $50,000 in a special reserve fund, but that's...
But I did put money aside for the pinhole leak and the ComEd thing, and then we decided we were going to hold off and leave that money in there just to figure out what if something major comes up with the capital needs assessment.
I mean, if we call special something, we might call the fund special reserve, we might call whatever, but it's still, in its essence, it's a capital needs fund. Whatever you want to call it, it's still a capital needs fund. It's kind of like the board approves something. The board's approved it. It might not be under the capital needs policy or anything like that, but it's still board approved.
Right.
The seven members had a discussion on it, there was a vote, and it was decided. So, I'm wondering, allocated use of new funds for TIF district, kind of like, that's the third item on here, that kind of like, we have to know what those funds are if we're going to allocate them to something. That's my feeling on how you go about it. And kind of like, if we don't have the funds or an idea, how can you allocate them?
Well, when we do our levy, that levy should reflect what our capital requirements are.
That might be your feeling, but I'm not sure if that should be in every levy what we do. Because I don't want to, I don't have the levy right here in front of me.
Right.
But a levy should not be so specific that it ties the hand of the board.
No. It's not that specific. But right now, basically what we have done, at least in the last 3 or 4 years, is take the last year's levy and increase it by a factor of 5%, and then make some small tweaks. This year, when we do the levy, it's going to be for a substantially larger dollar amount.
Wouldn't we just then put that in the general or in the special reserve fund, knowing that we have all of these capital need issues? Shouldn't we wait until we have the capital needs assessment to show us what the expenditures are that we're going to have to plan for?
Well, the problem that we have, as I said, is that we're going to get the capital needs assessment presented to the board in August. In August, we also have to do our first levy ordinance reading.
That's right. It's a first levy ordinance. That means there's going to be a second one. And I believe we have until the first week in December to actually pass the levy. There's time to get all the wording, the verbiage correct.
But we have to have a public hearing on it by the 21st or 22nd of September.
So why wouldn't we do this, Joe? So we get the capital needs assessment. We're going to have the information sent to us prior to the board meeting. You all review that. You come to me, we discuss, and we decide, okay, so we have excess amount of money. That's going to go to the special reserve fund to take care of the next projects for the fiscal year. I mean, we're going to have all that information.
Right.
So I don't understand what the concern is.
I wanted to see if we could get some consensus from the finance committee without you and I sitting down and just deciding what we were going to do and then present it to the board.
Well, I think that the finance committee is okay with that if you and I work together on it, and then the draft would go to the board, and if there's issues, they wouldn't approve it. I mean, that's your role as the treasurer, right?
Right.
Right. I mean, if it comes to the board, we either approve it or we disapprove it. That's
okay. So
I have no problem with you and Carolyn taking this information and coming up with an idea for it. If that's what you're concerned about, hey, go for it, because I think it's a great way to be efficient about getting these things done.
And then if Joe and I disagree, then we'll have to bring it to Heidi, you know.
Right.
Hey.
Right. I just wanted to get some input from the committee before that was done.
I think you have the support.
Okay, the last item on our agenda is our investment in how we're currently earning on that available funds. I am dismayed to see that we have a substantial amount of cash in excess of $2.5 million on which we earned $300 in May. And many boards look to without risk, with meeting its fiduciary responsibilities to most prudently invest their funds so that they actually earn on those funds.
Okay, right, as treasurer, right. Why don't you bring us those options? Do you have those options?
I was hoping that we would have some discussion about this. I asked John if he had some thoughts, and I see many boards that are using the FDIC insurance limitations and investing their funds $250,000 at a time into different banking institutions and earning substantially more than the less than 0.25% if we change what we're doing. And so we obviously have a banking situation that is not conducive to us getting a fair return on the taxpayers' funds that we have responsibility for. Now, there are firms that do that for governmental agencies. It's the sort of thing that we could reach out individually on. We also have the option of putting it into the Illinois State. What's the account called?
Illinois Funds.
Illinois Funds.
Do you know what the current rate is for the Illinois Funds?
I don't, but it's
he's gonna look it
it's
up.
Higher. What, it's higher than.
What did Fifth Third just quote us? I gave you the email. Joe got back to us.
I'm sorry.
I gave you the email. Yeah. So I reached out to Fifth Third because I would hate to leave the banking institution because it is a very cumbersome type of situation. But if they're not doing the right rates, I said, what can you do? I think my treasurer is going to want to take the money out. And what did he come back with?
Well, what he came back with was, right now we're getting 0.14%. He said it could be doubled, but then to 0.28%.
And then there would be a charge?
We would get charged.
But they were looking into waiving that charge.
The charge is minimal. It's $45, so it's not substantial. But a quarter of a percentage point is not a, I don't believe, good return.
Are there any other banks, or are you familiar? I used to do the where you would take the money and put it all over. I believe it was called Cedars, and this was years ago. Are there any firms like that?
There are money managers that go out and do local governments in terms of kind of brokering a fixed income account for you. You could go that direction. That would probably, you probably have to do kind of an RFP or an RFI and get, you know, people in here to speak to the board and see who the board felt comfortable with. You've got Illinois Funds. They're about 1.39%.
So we should move it there.
You could just move your money to Illinois Funds and you get a better, much better return.
And we did have it in Illinois Funds for years, but then Illinois Funds dropped drastically.
Well, this may have some
very dramatic
problems with some of their investments, and some entities lost money.
Illinois Funds, I'm not an expert on Illinois Funds. Another organization I'm part of, once you give your money to anything that is run by the state, it's really hard to get back. So I'm interested if anybody knows Illinois Funds. Is that something we can get our money back from?
We can. It took us a very lengthy process to get it, because we had all of our money in there.
Okay.
And then we did get it out.
Do we have enough, perhaps, to spread it around a bit? If they can give us a rate of return that is virtually a full percentage point, actually it is a full percentage point higher, what we're currently earning on a portion of it, I don't know just how cumbersome the paperwork would be.
I do not want to have all of the money at different banks and me be in charge of that. I would rather hire a firm to do that and have them responsible so that there is an insurance, you know, coverage, and they're the professionals.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and I have no objection to that at all. I don't think it's something that we would want to take on without an advisor who would do that for us.
So you mentioned, so that there'd be a process involved in an RFP?
Mm-hmm. You would probably go to RFP. I've got some names I could give you that do some other local governments.
And I can put on the director list, so if anybody's done an RFP, to get an example.
Yep.
And then I can have it run by the attorney, make sure that we have all of the legalese that we want in there.
I know that the St. Charles Public Library was using somebody. I don't know after they got done with their capital fund whether they continued or not, because they had like $14 million that they were investing.
That would be a good problem to have.
Yeah. Well, they ended up building a new library, or substantial increase, without borrowing much.
I asked a couple of local bankers I know, and I think most of us know interest rates are increasing pretty significantly right now. For whatever reason, it hits on the mortgage side like that. It doesn't work the same on cash. It can't explain why. I don't know why, but it isn't there yet. Maybe 6 months from now we might be able to get what we think is fair from every bank on the street, but it just isn't working that quickly yet. That acknowledged, I appreciate the language fiduciary duty. I do think we have a fiduciary duty, and I think if we can get more than that, it ought to be pursued. It is a good amount of money, and doubles double, and more than doubles a whole lot more than double.
Yeah.
Question for you. If we go to RFP, I guess, go to the RFP, how long would it take to get that going? Basically, we're looking at 6 weeks, 8 weeks before, 2 months?
2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Well, if we had a RFP to present to the board at the July board meeting.
That won't happen.
That won't happen. That's not enough time.
I'm doing all of the marketing right now. I need to get my staff. I need to get staff. I can get it to hopefully by August or September.
I don't think enough people would have enough time to make a response at this time of the year. To kind of like, okay, they want this by July. Half my staff is gone, and the other half is on vacation.
I can vouch for a lot of the financial industry would not be super responsive right now.
Right. So kind of like if we wait August, September, my thought was kind of like, you kind of answered, there's no short-term way we could just transfer the money till this happens. I was thinking Illinois funds, but you already said that takes a lot of time to get the money out. Or if we had a money manager at the time, would it be a little bit smoother to get it out? These are questions I have.
Right.
The way I look at it is if we're getting 0.14 and that becomes 0.28, nobody should do backflips over that, but it's a whole lot more than it was. And that's hopefully paperwork and administrative rigmarole. Let me finish. That would be low on the reinventing the wheel stuff. And so that's a move forward. We're at a government thing. It's got to be an RFP. We can't just take the money out here and walk it across the street. It just doesn't work that way. Double's a good start. I would pursue that option as fast as we can.
We, in order to do that, I'm reading this, we have to change the type of fund account that we've got. So that would require board approval at the July board meeting. It could then be done overnight once that occurred.
Yeah.
That's progress.
So I concur with John that I think that's the first step, but we also need to be looking at an RFP.
I will start doing research and trying to find copies of one, and James will send me what he has.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should just be cognizant that any money manager, and there's a whole kind of subsection of money management firms that do this for government entities, there has to be enough meat on the bone that they're going to make money too.
Oh, absolutely.
So if, just using reasonable numbers, if we get 0.3 and we put all this work into it, and we get lots of nice people in nice suits come and tell us a lot of smart stuff, and now we're making 0.6 gross, but their fee is 0.4 or 35 basis points, then we've just taken a step backwards for a lot of niceties and a lot of work. So just real world thought process for me, at least, this feels like a win-ish to double it up. And then we'll see what we can get from an RFP.
I think that one of the things that we're as John indicates, there are firms that specialize in working with governmental agencies. And they have the network of banking organizations that are looking for funds to back the loans that they make to their public, and by limiting it to $250,000 per item or per banking institution, we have our protection, but we have the opportunity to look at it from the standpoint of getting a fair return. Understand why our local banks, and Fifth Third is not a local bank, but why they may not be the right fit for us at this time.
I would say they have as much of a local footprint as any of them.
Yeah. Right. We need to also consider, and I will take a look at my thoughts, and perhaps I'll sit down with Carolyn on this, and maybe James, what we think our availability of excess funds should be. And by the time that we get back our needs assessment, we'll have more of a longer term picture of how we should be planning on expending funds so that we can see what that excess is and what the investment timeframes might be in terms of whether it's 6 months, a year, you know, locking the amounts in.
The other concern too is you might, you know, when we consider what we want to give to the money manager, they may need a certain dollar amount to even take you on as a client.
Right, right.
So if we don't hit $1 million even, it might not be worthwhile because you're going to have firms that say, no, thank you.
Correct.
Well, I don't think $1 million is going to be a problem.
No, I don't. I think we can get there. And then ideally, obviously, now you've got that money sitting making good returns, and that becomes kind of your capital reserve too. You can kind of try to tie the two together, which makes kind of a nice, easy understanding for the layperson as they see that money, you know, in that brokered account, and they know, okay, that's our investment, and then when we need it, we pull it back to spend on capital projects.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see us at a point with what I would characterize as true investments, not stocks, not mutual funds, cash.
We're not even legally in a position where we could do that.
Right.
It'll be all fixed income. It'll be CDs, treasuries.
Right. All right. So we have a consensus that we're going to explore and work towards getting an RFP. We're going to change the banking arrangement that we have with Fifth Third to be presented at the board meeting in July. Is there any other discussion that anyone would like to bring up? I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
Could I, Mr. Chair?
Town Hall.
Town Hall first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll be quick because Jen's got time to go. Talking about the 4 to 12 months, I remember 6 months, hearing that many, many times during meetings.
Thank you.
With the, it's wonderful that the letter will be in the newsletter, but some people may get it and toss it. We need to educate everybody, not just the people who use the library, that, you know, they say, oh my gosh, my taxes are going up. They're not going to know the reasons unless we educate them somehow, whether it's something in the paper, you know, whatever it is, multiple times, because they don't even look at the library. So and those are the people that, they're going to be the negative Nellies because of that. Also, back to the banking, you know, we do a high rate yield online thing, and it's 1.01. We don't quite have $1 million, but, you know, there are other things out there. But, again, you're restricted by what you can do with government funds. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you.
And now I'll bring a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
I will reach out to you after.
Let me call the roll.
Yeah.
Barry, yes.
Sias, yes.
Olson, yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.